And you might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Genesis and chapter 3. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, again, we just stop as we sang to open your word, and Spirit of God to help us. So thank you for it, that you can give us the help we need as you understand the help we need as we go down the corridor of time. So thank you for caring. Thank you for your grace and mercy, even now, in Christ's name, amen. And in our light of Joshua, which we looked at, and Joshua, at chapter 10 and that, had a very high time in their life. They were at the top of the pile, all 12 tribes in unison. It was very rare that they were that. That led us to consider application for us, Ephesians in chapter 6. Ephesians gives us the wonderful exercise of our heavenly position, being seated at the right hand of God in Christ Jesus. He's given us that high position, and we have an earthly obligation to exercise that high position on planet Earth. We are his witnesses. So being his witnesses, we have that, and we're to be, what, how are we going to do it? In a hostile environment, an environment that darkness prevails and light is rejected. How do we do that? Well, God gives us in chapter 6, as we did, the whole armor of God against principalities and against powers. And we went through that to help us understand so that we have. God is able to get us, have us enjoy our heavenly position on earth, to enjoy it in spite of everything going, in spite of the darkness, etc. So then we finish that a little bit to get that, then back to Joshua. Now back in Joshua, we were so long in heavenly places in Ephesians 6 that we have to remind ourselves about Joshua chapter 10. So therefore, we have gone back a step or two to refresh your memory and mine on how the ingredients, what made Israel so powerful, so unified, so enjoying God's awesome person. And that's what we're coming forward with that. So, and the ingredients. So, in the light of that, to get there, Genesis in chapter 3, I would remind you, Adam and Eve sinned, and when they disobeyed God, they lost their relationship to God. And thus in chapter 3 and verse 9, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Now remember, God came every day in the afternoon to take a walk with them. They walked with God every day, took a walk in the garden. That's an awesome thing. But this time, Adam and Eve sinned, and they lost their nakedness. They were naked. They lost their wonderful covering. Why did they lose the covering? Because they disobeyed God. So therefore, they're hiding in trees, the fig leaves, and all of that to cover themselves. Point. Verse 10, and he said, I heard the voice, Adam said, I heard the voice in the garden, thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And we were wrong, Adam and Eve said, and therefore we had to hide. We couldn't stand in your presence. We were afraid. I'm afraid. Why are you afraid? Because we're not able to stand comfortably in your holy, righteous presence. We're not able to do it. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So here's a little word, afraid. And that word afraid is also translated terror, is also translated terror, afraid, fear. So as we're looking to get there, remember it's the same word, same verb. The difference is, on the one hand, it's very positive. On the other hand, it's very negative. So if your heart's right, it's a very positive thing, the fear of God. If your heart's wrong, you better be afraid of God if your heart's wrong. So, with that little bit of introduction, if we can, over to Deuteronomy and chapter 4. And our little exercise to get there. Deuteronomy and chapter 4. And picking up, if I may, chapter 4 and in verse 10. Chapter 4, Deuteronomy, chapter 10. Chapter 4, verse 10. Especially the day, God speaking of helping Israel, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, Mount Sinai, when the Lord said unto me, gather me, the people, together. That's when all Israel assembled at Mount Sinai. And I will make them hear my words, which they actually did. They actually heard God out of the fire speak. So, and I will make them hear my words. Purpose, what's the purpose? That they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. You're going to do, I'm going to help them, I'm going to teach them to fear me. Fear, you'll learn it. You'll learn to rightly fear God. We know how to be afraid in the wrong way. We need to be positive in the right way. The fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of God is help you. You can't understand. The fear of God gets you understanding. So therefore, here in that. So God, we have to learn to fear. It isn't normal because we got the negative side. We got to get the positive side. And at the same breath, parenthesis, you need to learn to love God. You'll learn fear. You'll learn how to fear God. You'll learn how to love God. It isn't normal. You'll learn it. It's an education. And you go through the education to learn something. So, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, over to chapter 7. And in chapter 7, may I pick up, you remember as you're reading all these wonderful sections in Deuteronomy, and God is going to go and bless Israel all over the place. So Israel, just to see it, without even trying it, in verse 14, chapter 7, verse 14, thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee, but thou will lay them upon all them that hate thee. And thou shalt consume all the people, etc., etc. I'll read that, I guess. And thou shalt consume all the people which the Lord thy God shall deliver thee. Thine eye shall have no pity upon them, neither shall thou serve their gods idolatry, for that will be a snare unto you. In other words, it's going to get you. You get caught up in their system, and you're going to lose the relationship to God. Verse 17, and thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than more than I? How can I dispossess them? How can we overcome the chariots of iron, etc., and the giants and everything? Thou shalt not be afraid. There's your word. Afraid, afraid, terror. Adam and Eve were afraid, afraid. Thou shalt not be afraid of them, because it's normal to be afraid. And thou shalt, but thou shalt well remember that the Lord thy God, what the Lord thy God did unto the Pharaoh and unto all Egypt, sliding down in the light of all of that to verse and chapter 7, sliding to verse 21. And then thou shalt not be afraid, frightened, there's the same word, of them, and for the Lord, why not? For the Lord thy God is among you, a mighty God and terrible. Now God's there in his most wonderful way. Now, to see that, get that over, you got that? So therefore we go, remember they have the confident that to take the land, etc., you'll pick it up in a minute. Numbers chapter 14. Numbers in chapter 14. Remember the 12 spies, went into the land. Two of them were positive, 10 of them were negative. So, and thus the people of Israel listened to the negative. They were afraid of the giants. They were afraid of the chariots of iron. They were afraid of it all. They weren't going to go. And therefore they complained. Chapter 14, in verse 2. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? In other words, here we are facing what we don't want to have to face. Verse 3, wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey. Oh, were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? And that's what they did. They're all set to go, not forward, but backwards. Why is that? Because they are afraid. Down to verse 9. And Adam, Moses, and picking up, you'll see it. Verse 5. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. They fell down before God in the light of such thinking. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. So Moses and Aaron are on the ground, and Joshua and Caleb are standing up, ripping their clothes off. How could you possibly think like that before God? Therefore, verse 7, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceedingly good land. Verse 8, and the Lord delighted, if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only, 9, only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people. You're afraid of the people. That's the point. You're afraid of the people. And what did you just say? What did you guys say, Caleb, Joshua? And they were, for you fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Now, they haven't crossed the Jordan. And Caleb and Joshua are right in tune with all that's going to be said. They're way ahead. They're moving with God. They're thinking with God, and the enemy and the obstacles, if it's God's will and God's time in God's way, then it's bread for us. We don't have to fight. We just need to devour it It's bread for us. Now, having said that a little bit and keeping that in mind, over to Joshua. Now, this is before they crossed the Jordan. So when they crossed the Jordan, you remember last time, and we shared together, and as they crossed the Jordan and they're going to go against Jericho and all of that, Joshua and chapter 2, and picking up, please, in verse 9, just to review it. And this is, remember now, here they are, the woman's trying to save them. She knows they're going to go, and God's going to level the city, and she knows that. So she lowers before she sends the two spies back who've been checking out Jericho to see how it is. She said unto the men, verse 9, I know that the Lord hath given you this land, the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For, why is this true? For we have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did under the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, without ye, whom ye utterly destroyed. And, verse 11, and as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is a God in heaven above and on earth beneath. While you just were crossing the Red Sea 40 years ago, we understood there was no way, wall, chariots, giants, there's no way on earth that we can compete or defeat your God. We knew it 40 years ago, and we've been waiting 40 years, and why you haven't come here yet? Because we knew 40 years ago, you're the winner. Caleb and Joshua, they're bred for us. They knew it. Their heart was right. They got it. The believer got it. But the others didn't have it, so they didn't understand. So they said, let's go back to Egypt. So, having said that, and then add to that, as you remember, chapter 4, on the 12 stones out of the Jordan, etc. And in chapter 4, picking up, please, in verse 19. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month of and encamped in Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. Now, skipping down for time's sake, they're going to see the 12 stones. Going, if I can, therefore. Verse 22, they're going to ask about the stones. Then you shall let your children know, saying, what are you going to tell them? Why are the 12 stones there? Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. Verse 23, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over. So the Red Sea and the Jordan River are to be, we shared them all that. They were gigantic events. They were shattering the whole area, Africa, North Africa, Europe, Spain. Everyone knew. They knew. Awesome things. Now, so therefore, verse 24, that all purpose, that all the people of the earth might know, not just Israel, not just the Philistines, that all the earth, all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you might fear the Lord your God forever. Positive, positive, healthy fear, respecting God, an awe of God, a respect. God is awesome, and what he says and what he does is awesome. And to bring us into the family of God is awesome, awesome. That's what it does. Now, so therefore, now that took a little bit to get there, chapter 5, verse 1. And it came to pass, chapter 5, and in verse 1, and you'll note, and it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel, until we were passed over, that their heart melted. That's what the woman said. The woman melted. They'll just say to the two spies, our hearts melted. They dissolved. They perished. They just, like a piece of ice, they just melted. We were strong, and it just disappeared. It dissipated. In verse 5 again, until we were passed over that their hearts melted, neither was there any spirit in them anymore because of the children of Israel. So everything is very positive. And the people of Israel need to be very positive. Why? Because they're on the right side of the Jordan in the right way. They crossed the Jordan. They had to give all the credit to God. God received all of the glory and all of the honor, and he was being respected and understood by all the bad guys, and they knew. It wasn't about Israel. It wasn't Israel was super duper. It was the God of Israel who was super duper. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and so Israel just needed to believe and enjoy God. But in the process, they had to learn that. So therefore, chapter 7, and in chapter 7, picking up, you'll remember, they went in going against Ai. They assumed that they didn't need all the men, all the enemy. We just sent a handful of them comparatively to go and kill the people and take the city of Ai. That was a bad move. They needed to move as a unit, not as individuals. So therefore, they went, and you know what happened. Chapter, as we did at Joshua, again, if I can, in chapter 7, verse 5. And the men of Ai smote them, about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate, even unto Sheba Rim, and smote them in the going down. Therefore, the hearts of the people melted, because as became as, and the people's heart melted and became as water. Now, who's that? That's the Israelites. Now, the Israelites. This is the only time we have an account of all the battles. 33 kings, 33 armies, 33. Wow. All of that. What have we got? You lost 36 men. 36. Not 336, just 36. I tried to help you understand. You win when you trust me. When you don't trust me, you're going to lose. And I'm going to teach you. I didn't teach you in a big way this time. I taught you in a little way. You just lost 36 men. That's all. Okay. Now, so God, we got that a little bit. And here we are looking. So God, you're going to work out. And so here's all the wonderful working of God. And you just have a healthy fear of God and God in his awesomeness. And you're going to trust him with all your heart at the awe-inspiring person of God. So now, on the other hand, that's Joshua. Now, can we just copy that and go with that as it is? Or do we need to add something so we see it better? So I can't just say, I'm going to go, God, I got it, and I'm going to conquer. You do, but you have to do it in the right way at the right time. And you'll remember, you, without turning there, Israel could not take the Edomites, the others. They went through their land. And God told them, Deuteronomy chapter 2 in that, you cannot have one inch of their territory. The only territory you can have is my will for your life. You can't have anybody else's. And you can't touch their territory. Get through it. Go through it. But don't take any of it. It's not yours. You take God's will for your life in God's way. That's what you want. Where it's at, Philippians 2, 12, 13. Work out your what? Work out your own salvation. You can't have somebody else's. You want yours. God's will for you. All of God's will includes God, but how that works out, that's different. So, now, having said that, that little bit, exercise it. So what do we know? Over, if I can, over to Malachi. The last Old Testament, as you know. And in Malachi, picking up in thought. And in chapter 1. How do the Jews do? Well, they did good at Joshua chapter 5 and 6. But they aren't doing very good thereafter. No. They had a spot. They did it. And then they lost it. So, Malachi chapter 1, you remember. And going, if I can, directly in the light of the context, verse 6. A son honoreth his father, a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? If I be a master, where is my fear? If I be who I am, you ought to have a fear of me. You ought to have a healthy respect for who I am. Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priest that despise my name, and you say, wherein have we despised thy name? Now, and sliding over to chapter 2, just to add to that, oh, you know all these things. Chapter 2, verse 17, what was their attitude? Verse 17, chapter 2, you have wearied the Lord with your words, yet you say, well, how did they do that? Wherein have we wearied him? When you say, what say what? Everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord. The bad guys are good guys. And he delighteth in them. God's happy with bad things. No. Or, where is the God of judgment? God doesn't do anything anyway. So, therefore, now God, what happened to the wonderful, wonderful thing you did for Israel? And the heart melted. So did Israel's heart melt. They lost. They had to learn the lesson. You want to go in God's will, in God's way, in God's time. That's always going to be very positive. And there's nothing ahead to stop. No matter what it looks like, nothing to stop God outworking his will in your life. What is there in your life that can rob you of God's wonderful plan, Ephesians 2:10, except you and me? Us guys, we're the only ones that mess it up. We do. Now, so, having said that in Malachi, and remember over in Romans chapter 3 in that, verse 18, there's none righteous. Romans 3:18. Romans chapter 3, verse 18. And you'll note, where is there, 3:18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things were soever the law saith, it saith to them that were under the law. the law, that every mouth may be stopped and that all the world may become guilty. Jews, Gentiles, everything can become guilty before God. There is no fear. What happened to your fear? You got to have fear. God said that's the beginning of knowledge. You have to respect who God is and honor him for who he is, not shrink him down like we shared in Jeremiah when we did it. What did the Jews do? They shrunk him down. They took him down. They made him, instead of making him God-sized, they shrunk him down to be man-sized. That's what they did. They made him little. And then they talk about God to help them. But God, they shrunk God down. How's that going to be? You can't do that. So in the light of that. So, over it. Now, so it isn't what? So we don't have all of the things going for us. Where's the melted hearts? You see, we get out of bed, go to work, school, do what we do. Here's the church in showing the God's grace. A church often not showing God's grace as they should. And here they are getting clobbered. Here's the church getting clobbered. It is persecuted to be positive like that. Where do you hear that? That we're going to go against the darkness. You don't hear that. No, that's powerful. Powerful. We just aren't in the place. We'd rather go back to Egypt. That's what we'd rather do. So, therefore, just see it a little bit, what's coming up. Chapter 11, Revelation. In chapter 11, picking up, and you'll remember the two witnesses who witnessed for three years or so, approximately 3.5 years. And in the process, they're free to do so, and they have great power. But when God's finished with him, when God's finished with them, chapter 11, and in verse 7, and when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast, the Antichrist, that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit, shall make war against them, and shall overcome them, and kill them. Kill them. That's what I do. Chapter 13, the Antichrist, after he gets into his place in the power, taking over in power, chapter 13. And what do we have in chapter 13, verse 7? And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. In other words, the whole world was under his command, under his domain. And you couldn't stop it. Great persecution. Think back in the days of the early church and the persecutions, the terrible persecutions. The Jews and Gentiles, persecutions, thousands of people. Just couldn't believe it. That's what they did. They did it in the name of whatever. But we believe. Boom. We got whatever. God. So what are we doing? Well, we're here, but we aren't like Israel to say, boy, we're going to make everything around us melt. We're going to be conquerors. We are more than conquerors. That is true. And in Romans 8, 31, if God be for us, who can be what? Against us. And Romans 8, 26, 36, 37. I'm going to make you more than a conqueror. Who are you making more than a conqueror? I'm going to make you a sheep slaughtered to be slaughtered in the world. But no matter what they do, they can never touch your life. All they can do is at the most, Matthew chapter 10, is touch your body and kill it and mutilate it like they do over there in Hamas and that. And I just can't, it's the way it is. That brutality, I just can't. Very hard. Just can't see it, but it's what they do, in the name of whatever. So God, we're more than conquerors. We're sheep for the slaughter. And Matthew 10, you know, Matthew 10, you have to turn there. God said, don't be afraid of what they can do to you. The most they can do to you is kill your body. They can butcher you, but they can never touch you because you live inside the body. You are not the body. You live inside the body. Remember that. So that you can lose your hand, but you don't lose you. So we're looking. God said, don't worry about it. They can only touch your body. I fear me. I can touch your soul. Fear God. Fear God. And the rest comes pretty easy. Have a fear of God in a healthy, wealthy kind of way. And therefore, you know from Philippians in chapter 2 and verse 12, work out your own salvation with, work out your own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. That's the word fear. Fear God. 1 Peter 1 and 17. Past the time of your sojourning, you're a citizen of heaven. You're seated in heaven. You're still here. Past the time while you're here in the fear of God. Let God be a holy, healthy, happy movement in your life. And respect him. God isn't us like us humans. That's obvious. God is God. So God, what are we going to do? We're going to look to you in fear and trembling. We're going to let you outwork your wonderful will in your wonderful way. And God, you're able to do it. And we're going to pass the time while we're here in the fear of you. So, and some say, you ought to fear me. No, I fear God. And you ought to fear him. I don't fear you. I fear God. Of all the things I fear, let fear be the top of the pile. Of all the things you're afraid of that could happen, let God, the fear of God, the positive, wonderful, awe-inspiring fear of God, the reverence of God, who is outwork to outwork his wonderful will in your life, in his most awesome way, to outwork that will, no matter what, no matter who, no matter where, no matter when. God, do it. And that's what I want. And all the rest of the bad medical reports and all the other things that you could ever get, God, do your will. And let everything else be subject to it. So now, having said that and done a little bit, and we have to quit. But in quitting, jumping and doing a little differently, over to Isaiah in chapter 8. Isaiah in chapter 8. And illustration. Ahaz, the Samaria and north, they're coming against King Ahaz in Judah. They're coming against him to fight, that fight. And so what does Ahaz do? Ahaz says, we need help. We can't go against these two countries, two places. We're going to get defeated. So we need help. So they wanted to look to Assyria. Assyria, to come down and help him, to take care of the enemy. And that's what they wanted. That's the background. And so Isaiah comes along and says, don't you do that. But the people yelled at Isaiah because they knew they needed Assyria to come and help them. That's what they thought. Therefore, chapter 8, picking up, if I can, say ye not a confederacy to all them whom this people shall say, a confederacy, neither fear, there's your little word, fear ye their fear nor be afraid. Three times. Three times. Don't fear. They're all afraid. And that's why they want us here. That's why they want a solution. They're afraid. Don't you fall for that, get into that trap. Don't do it. Therefore, verse 13, sanctify, set apart, consecrate the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear. And let him be your dread. Fear gone. Don't get tied up in Assyria. They're big and they're powerful, and all bad things could happen, and they will in the tribulation. All awesome bad things to God's people. But God's going to let it be. God's going to let it be. It isn't really an issue with God. It is with us, because we don't want to have to go through any discomfort. But God said, forget that. Forget that. And when you're in the thick of all of this, like they will be, it's quite different. So therefore, let him be your fear and let him be your sanctuary. Let him be the place you're going to rest in his wonderful person and rely upon his wonderful person and rest, rely, and relax. Remember the formula you did in Sunday school? Rest, relax, relax. Rely, rest, relax. Three of them. Relax. Relax. God said, don't worry about it. Just trust me. But Assyria is awful big. I know. It's big. And the people are all in favor of the wrong. That's true. That's true. And it's all going to go where it goes. But what you're looking for is God's will for your life. And to be trusting God in the thick and the thin of it. And that's what you do. You don't fix everything. You probably don't fix anything. You don't fix anything. You just go through it. That's what you do. And you trust God. That's what you do. That's all God asked. God didn't ask you to fix everything. God didn't ask. And if you're trying to fix it, you probably can't try to fix things. You see, you can't fix them. God has to fix them. God has to make it work out. I only have two or three things I could understand about something, and God has 7 zillion of them. He knows how to put everything. I only have a little piece of a problem, and I make it the big thing. But there are 7 million zillion pieces that belong in the big picture that all have to go together. And I have to what? I don't have those pieces. God does. God has them. And we have to trust him to use them rightly and outuse them and outwork them in his wonderful way. I got to appreciate your patience and trust God. Help us a little bit as we're going. And that Joshua and Israel, we're learning, God. We are, inch by inch. Our Father and God, we thank you a little bit that we can be educated and understand there's a time to be wonderfully victorious, and we want to learn from it and be able to keep you learning and repeat it. We don't want to have an event, a time, and it's out the window tomorrow. We want to be able to store it up in our little head and heart so that we build a wonderful understanding of you in a wonderful, wonderful way, and to practice that understanding to your honor and glory. So God, you got to help us in every way. Thank you for caring, Spirit of God, for your grace to us, for your Lord, for your sacrifice on Calvary's cross. And Father, all of that so that we can honor you and give you the glory. Thank you very, very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.